Hi, friend, and welcome to the Brand Strategy Podcast, a show created to equip you with the inspiration, encouragement, and clarity you need to build the brand of your dreams. I'm your host, Bonnie Bakhtiari, brand designer, strategist, and founder of The Illume Retreat. From sustainable strategy to heartfelt encouragement, each episode is designed to equip you with the tools you need to chase after your dreams. Because you deserve a brand that empowers you to do what you love, connects with your dream clients, and offers a deep sense of fulfillment along the way. So grab a cup of coffee and join me on this journey, won't you? Friends, welcome back to the Brand Strategy Podcast, where today I am so excited to be chatting with a hugely talented luxury photographer about how she built her brand from scratch. You might have heard of today's guest, KT Mary, a top wedding photographer. You might have seen her work in publications like Harper's Bazaar, Martha Stewart Weddings, or The Knot. And she has photographed weddings and editorials around the world for nearly two decades. Now, along with her husband and her business partner, Chad, KT is sharing her knowledge with photographers who are looking to refine their businesses and create purpose-filled lives. That is something that, for those who are longtime listeners, you know that I'm so passionate about. And so to be able to have this conversation and share it with you today so that you can see how you can not only build a profitable business, but one that is founded on a clear sense of purpose and empowers you to pursue your unique definition of success, I just get excited about that. So KT, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm really excited to chat with you today.
Yeah, thank you so much for that lovely introduction. And I'm so excited to be here and just connect with you and your listeners.
Well, I would love to hear a little bit more about you and your business, if you don't mind sharing.
Absolutely. I am a, as you mentioned, a luxury destination wedding photographer. I have been photographing weddings for about 14 years now, a little bit more than that, and got my start in actually fashion photography, first as a photo assistant and later digital tech, but really grew my business over those 14 years to now service luxury weddings around the globe. And I also photograph editorials for brands and magazines as well, and have really been able to enjoy kind of this growth over the years and working together with my husband and business partner, Chad. And we live in Miami, and this is the longest we've ever been in one spot in the last decade of our business. But it's been a real journey and something that I'm excited to talk about today.
That's amazing. Now, you mentioned that you got your start actually as a photography assistant, correct?
Correct.
Well, I'd love to hear, how did you get started as a photographer?
Absolutely. Well, I really started, I had always been into art, and I really got started in high school. I was lucky enough that my high school at the time in Northern Nevada had a photography class. So I took that. And back then that meant, you know, the good little closet dark room and processing your own black and white film. And it was actually through that photo teacher who asked me to join a competition that was through the school. Back then it was called VICA, which is Vocational Industrial Clubs of America. I hope it still exists. It's everything vocational, from auto mechanics to welding to photography. And I got invited to do this photo competition in Las Vegas and ended up winning at the state level, went on to the national level, and was runner up, which just meant that I was awarded two national photo scholarships. And that's kind of what put me on the path to becoming a photographer. And with that, I moved across the country, went to photo school. And this is back when weddings were still being done in basements with white tablecloths and really were nothing that you wanted to be associated with. So I had the dream to be a fashion photographer and went out and started just knocking on doors as a photo assistant and started just freelance photo assisting for fashion photographers really all over the country. And I did that for nearly 5 years with photo assisting, digital teching once digital came about, and then even doing some production and assisting fashion stylists, you name it, kind of anything to pay those bills and also just to keep learning as I was being able to travel and work in that industry.
That's amazing. So as you were, you know, growing this business, did you always have an idea that you wanted to, you know, focus on weddings, or is that something that kind of happened organically?
Yeah, weddings, like I mentioned, when I started in fashion photography, were absolutely the opposite of what I was interested in. As most people back then, it was really something that was almost kind of cheesy, you know, you didn't really want to be associated with it, even if you did it. I mean, it's for the newer listeners who have been in this industry for, you know, less amount of time. It really was something back then that people kind of hid the fact if they did work in it, because it just really wasn't seen in the light that it is today. And so I really kind of started in that fashion lane. And then as my career with that evolved, I had some opportunities to kind of start shooting and start making some side money as a second shooter and associate, and kind of realized that, oh, this is kind of interesting. And about then was really when weddings started to shift. This is, you know, right around that period is like when the first blogs were kind of being born, and not too much later, Style Me Pretty came about. So it was kind of in that transition that I started to get a peek inside what was evolving as the wedding industry, and really had a lot of new opportunities. And it was during that period that I said, wow, I'm going to, you know, kind of dip my toes in the water, so to speak, and check out what this industry is about. And then not too much later kind of dove full in and quit in the fashion industry and went full time into weddings.
Wow. That is so fascinating to like hear. So I imagine that when you were starting to really dive into the wedding industry, I'm sure that you saw a lot of variation in the kinds of events and the kinds of budgets even that couples were working with. So I know that now, as an established luxury wedding photographer, you know, the kind of events you're probably shooting at this point look a little different from the weddings that you might have taken on at the beginning. How has that shift looked in your career?
Absolutely. It's always been an evolution. And I think the one thing I knew from the get-go was my kind of why for a lot of the things that I did was travel. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to be that kid that had the funds to go take a gap year, as they call it, and just tour around the world and really get that education that you can only get from just seeing different cultures and being in different places. But that my circumstance wasn't that. So I was really looking for anything that would allow me to have those experiences. So in fashion, that was working anywhere the job would take me. And in weddings, really honing in on destination. I knew that I didn't want to just return to the same ballroom every weekend. Mm-hmm. And that really wasn't going to inspire me. So early on, I knew that where I wanted to go, even when I was just working in the Florida Keys. And luckily for me, it might have not been a destination for me, but it was for the clients. So mm-hmm. I was kind of using every avenue that I could think of, you know, whether that was just making sure that when I'm sending it into Style Me Pretty, that I was labeling it as a destination wedding. And when I was doing my own personal shoots, that I was making them Bali inspired. So those key words, and kind of really looking ahead to where I knew I wanted to go. And then each year, just trying to keep upping that ante as far as making my work better, and then simultaneously raising my prices with that. And that was one thing I was lucky enough to be pretty consistent with year to year, was just to keep kind of notching up that ladder, if you will.
Mm, that's so strategic. And I like how you described it as an evolution, right? It wasn't, you know, an immediate decision. Or I think it's so easy for us to, you know, when we're growing our businesses, take a look at others in the industry or in a similar industry who maybe have been in business longer than we have. And it's easy to look at where they are and think that their business has always looked that way, right?
Right,
but it's never that way. It's always that slow growth. And the fact that you highlighted how you constantly kept your attention on the future and making those slow, steady, intentional changes, I imagine that's how you got into the luxury industry, right? Was kind of gradually following that ladder, so to speak, versus this like dramatic jump.
Absolutely. I think leveraging every opportunity that I could. So I think a lot of your listeners will know that you might have 15 weddings on the books, and maybe two that year are really going to be stepping you towards the weddings that you'd like to do in the future. And so then it's really, well, how are we going to leverage those two and make sure that you're really going to juice that content down to the core and get it published and get it out there and maybe not show a good portion of the other ones, and kind of doing that in that strategic way so you can kind of frame where you want to go while just utilizing the resources that you have in that moment. And I think some of those key decisions too, I know we always preach charging what you're worth and raising your rate, which is something I 100% believe in. But there, if you've got a strong hold on your vision and where you want to go, you also know the times that you need to either come out and pay for a shoot out of your own pocket or heavily discount to get that shoot that's really going to be that portfolio staple for you and things as well. And so, and that goes across the board and in all services, floral and, you know, pretty much all creative entrepreneurs too.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. When kind of thinking about that shift in your own business towards more of these luxury events and positioning yourself as a luxury photographer, would you say that practically it looked like a lot of those smart and strategic decisions, like actively pursuing the types of styled shoots that were reflective of the kind of destination events that you wanted to be capturing and highlighting that maybe, you know, a select few events from your portfolio that did fit that description and choosing not to showcase others?
Absolutely. And it kind of comes back to that saying, dress for the job that you want. And so even if you are at the level where it would be considered mainstream, maybe it's, you know, not a big budget production, but maybe there are some good elements, but really taking that luxury approach to shooting it like a destination photographer, really putting in the extra. And I know a lot of vendors down to floral or hair and makeup, they might not have the budget, but they're going to add things because it's going to benefit them in the end and be a portfolio piece. So I think really always coming from that approach of where you want to be, not where you are right now, and treating it like it's already that really high-end luxury event. And it really does come back full force because you're just going to approach it differently. You're not only going to shoot from a different standpoint and appreciate it more, but you're also going to treat that client in a different way that's going to probably turn them into a raving fan, probably yield you referrals. And if you're continually putting out in the universe that, you know, I'm a destination wedding photographer, or I do beach weddings, or whatever that thing is that you really want to do. I believe that if you just kind of continually just keep putting out that messaging and honing it any which way you can, it really does start to manifest itself.
I totally agree with that. I think that it's so powerful when we as people see something that we want and then we say it or we go after it, we take action based on it rather than just, you know, kind of keeping that as like a big, beautiful dream that's close to your heart, but you never talk about it or you never put it out there. So I am over here like emphatically nodding my head along you're saying that.
Absolutely. I talk about this one shoot I did a lot that was in the Florida Keys, kind of once again, leveraging every relationship that I had and every contact I had to do this kind of fashion editorial wedding shoot. And I made the whole thing Bali. And obviously I had the word inspired in there, but I just hoped everyone skimmed right over that. And it was really just Bali. And I shot it like Bali and, you know, by God, it looks like it could be in Bali. But it was really, once again, just going, well, where's the place that I really want to shoot the most right now? And just creating something around that. So I always tell people that we have usually a lot more resources at our disposal than we think. You know, we've got the picture of the ocean that, sure, it was maybe in California, but you could absolutely write something about some other destination that you would like to shoot or some other type of client you'd like to work with. So I think it's just about sometimes getting scrappy and resourceful, which, you know, is kind of exactly what I think the times right now are calling us all to do too, is to get creative and leverage what we have and do the most with it.
Oh, I totally agree. Based on what you were sharing there, I'd love to hear what are some kind of practical lessons that you learned as you kind of went the intentional yet scrappy route into the luxury photography industry?
Yeah, and I obviously did it the slow and hard way. I'm hoping that there's a lot more resources like this great podcast out to listeners now that just weren't there 10, you know, 14 years ago when I was getting this business off the ground and kind of trying to navigate this. So I did things kind of the detour way and learned a lot of great lessons from them, but I'm hoping that your listeners are kind of finding the resources to avoid some of these missteps. But things like just not already coming in with that luxury approach, even though it was, you know, an 8-hour wedding when I could just show up and leave. So, and what I mean by that is for a luxury approach now, I would never just show up at the time that I'm scheduled to be there. I would show up a full day before that, before I start shooting. I would scout, I would start doing B-roll, I would get the invitations and the flowers from the florist, and I would start shooting details a full day before. I would be much more involved, there, present, focused on that wedding, you know, long before I'm ever scheduled to actually be there, which is something that obviously was an evolution in my business that I do today, but I didn't do it for a long time because I was contracted to be there for 8 hours. So I showed up then. And I think that the more everyone can start, if the goal is to reach that next level, then start servicing at that level, start providing your clients that next level experience. And that's how you get there even faster, because you're going to learn things along the way that are going to really save you those mistakes and missteps when you actually do get that ideal dream client.
That's really great advice. And that kind of sparks something in my mind. So often in with my own education students and kind of thinking about their growth, it's easy for us to think that instantly what we want to do is go straight into that higher price point, right? And we want to start charging more. But this idea, this really thoughtful approach of elevating your client experience and really just showing up and serving your current clients so well, even if they aren't at that high price point just yet, I think that that lays a really powerful foundation. And like you said, it gives us the opportunity to see how we can grow. It gives us the opportunity to become aware and to really build a high level of awareness about things we can do better or ways we can refine our services or our workflows. And if anything, I think you actually touched on this earlier, but by showing up and kind of loving on your clients like that, you generate such an incredible relationship that can then lead to those really wonderful word of mouth referrals.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree with all of that more, that it's really, you don't want to kind of start on the job training, if you will. So you don't want to get that great destination wedding or that dream client and then go, okay, now I'm going to magically turn into this person working at another level. And we know it doesn't work that way, that you actually need to kind of step into that role to grow into it. So starting with where you are right now, and I think sometimes we all get so caught up in where we want to be and who we dream about serving that we kind of take for granted a little bit of what we have right here and now and the existing clients that we have. And I think really taking a good look at how we can kind of take that to the next level and then even further. And this is something that, once again, took me a long time to do that I really encourage people to do, is to actually talk to our clients who we've already served and say, you know, in what ways could I have made this process just a little bit better for you? Is there any feedback? And really taking that and incorporating it into your business. If they were a client that you would want to work with again, then absolutely get that feedback from beginning to end and be really open and upfront, asking them to help you grow.
Absolutely. I think that talking to our past clients, talking to potential clients, like talking to actual humans is one of the best things we can do as entrepreneurs. Yes. And it seems to be the thing that so many of us are like really hesitant to do. And I don't know why.
We're scared for the feedback, but then if you lay it out in terms of the, you know, the logical common sense things, you go, well, I'm too scared to get the feedback, so I'll just risk repeating that whatever I don't even know I'm doing again and again. And it's really kind of silly, as Einstein would say, you know, the definition of insanity is, you know, repeating the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So I think getting that feedback is definitely part of that growth.
Oh, absolutely. I love that you framed it in that way, because if we're able to stay in touch with the people who we have worked with in the past and get that honest feedback, it really does highlight so many opportunities for growth that we would have missed completely. I really do appreciate that input for sure.
Yeah.
So out of curiosity, one question that I always love getting into on the podcast centers on this idea of, for those who are ready to take action on this idea of elevating their business, whether they're a fellow photographer or maybe they're a service-based business, but they're ready to take action and start to make that gradual journey into the luxury industry, what kind of encouragement would you want to share for them as they get started on that journey?
Yeah, I think the most important thing for me has been and will continue to be really getting clarity over that vision, not only what the long-term vision is and kind of those goals to get there, but also why? And that would be the one thing I'd ask everybody is if you're saying, I just wish I could, you know, charge X amount or get into this level or work with that person, really stop and think, well, okay, what is that going to achieve for me, my business and my life that I don't have right now? And why do I want that? And I think once we get clear on that, sometimes there will be some clarification there that maybe, you know, getting up to that 10,000 followers isn't as meaningful as we think it's going to be or as great. But also sometimes you'll also discover, well, actually, I do have a really good reason to get there and it's just going to motivate me that much more. So I would kind of encourage everyone to just go through that exercise of thinking about that long-term vision. Really, what does that look like? And then what are those goals that'll help you get there? And really, why do we want to do all this hard work in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing advice, because staying in touch with that why, staying centered on that vision, like you were talking about, that's gonna keep us grounded and motivated when things are tough and we're really feeling like, you know, we have to scrap a lot together to figure out how to move forward. That is gonna keep you grounded and motivated and focused in those tough seasons, because it's never easy, is it?
Well, and I don't know about you, but you know, this year has certainly given me time to reflect on really what matters most to me, where I want to be in the, you know, 5-10 years from now, what kind of wasn't working that I was too busy to maybe kind of take a look at, what I really do enjoy, things that I hadn't done in a long time that I really do care about. And so I think that always these challenging times, the silver lining of them is they really do give us that pause to get really crystal clear on what's most important to us and really where we're headed with our time here on this, you know, big rotating globe.
For sure. And that's a really beautiful reminder too, to take what has been for so many people a really challenging year, but to use it as an opportunity to get back in touch with your priorities and what matters to you and operate from that place of honoring your values versus, I know for me personally, I was doing sort of a similar exercise where I sat down and just kind of took inventory of like what life looked like and what I was filling my time with. And, you know, somehow unintentionally, I found all these things on my plate that, you know, I'm not quite sure how I decided to start doing them or why I was doing them. But in light of this pandemic and everything that's been going on this year, it's made me realize how much of that stuff really doesn't need to be taking up my time or energy. And so it's been this beautiful opportunity to like release a lot of those commitments. And
absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I, with your values, that if you were to just judge them by the action, so if a little alien came and just watched you, you know, for a week, and would then describe, you know, your values are where you spend your time. So then would come back and tell us what our values are based on that. I think a lot of us would probably feel out of alignment normally. Well, obviously they really love working and they really love their email and they really love, you know, Netflix. And you ask most people about their values, they're usually not going to list those things. And right. I do think it's so true. And I always think about, I've got several friends who, you know, every month or two, they're off on a family trip or they're, you know, taking a vacation. I'm always, you know, kind of working away going, geez, they sure take a lot of vacations and spend a lot of time with the family. Meanwhile, you know, if I had to talk about her values, I don't even need to have a conversation with her because I know where they are just based on her actions. And so I think it's a great time for us to kind of use this as a pattern interrupt and take stock and all that.
Absolutely. And I also think it's a great time for us to, you know, the beauty of the internet, it makes it so easy for us to connect with each other and to get to follow along with like-minded entrepreneurs. So on that note, I know that everyone who's tuning in today, they're going to want to know where they can find you online. So where do you like to spend your time on social media, or where can we connect with you on your website?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I am most of the time in Instagram, like many of our fellow photographer friends here. And my handle is at KT Mary, and that's KTMERRY. And my website is the same. And I've got a great for photographers section there that's got a lot of free resources that if someone's looking to kind of take things to the next level right now and maybe doesn't have the funds, that's a really great place to start. And then We also have our digital course that is opening back up this fall, and that's called the Abundance Plan. And there's information about that there as well. So absolutely, we'll want to check that out.
Oh, awesome. And friends, for those who are tuning in, as always, I will have all of KT's information and the link to her website on the show notes for today's episode. So if you just head to brandstrategypodcast.com and click on today's episode, you will be able to find all that information there. KT, thank you so much for spending time with us today on the show, having this conversation and sharing your experience about how you built your brand from scratch into what it is today. It's been so great to have this conversation with you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really passionate about building brands and just like you, building big lives along with it. So I always love talking about this. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining me today, friend. Before you go, I would be so grateful to receive your feedback on the Brand Strategy Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode or the podcast in general has helped you grow your brand, I'd really appreciate it if you left us a review in iTunes. Your positive reviews enable the Brand Strategy Podcast to continue to grow and reach like-minded creatives just like you. Plus, I'll be randomly selecting a handful of lucky reviewers each month to receive a little thank you surprise from me in the mail. Thank you for all your support and encouragement as together we pursue building brands with purpose and intention. Until next time, I'm cheering you on from Waco.